Ice spread a song so you can sing along with a special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you. Theme song,
Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host John, and with me today, celebrating Christmas in July, it's Battles, everyone!
Woo! Your local friendly Rankin and Bass correspondent joins mm-hmm. you again
and
for another titillizing episode.
And possibly for the last one, who knows? I mean, we got to move on. We did Waitress. We did other things.
I think we're ending on a high note here with this one too.
We did the mythic or mystic crystal. I don't know which one it is. Mythic, the mythic crystal. Well, we're here today.
Did have a date if you're listening. Hello.
We got to get it out of the way. We're here today to talk about the 1974 short film. I mean, it's only 24 minutes, so 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Screenplay is by Jerome Coopersmith, music by Maury Laws, lyrics by Jules Bass, directed by Jules Bass and Arthur Rankin Jr. And according to IMDb, when a town learns that Santa Claus has struck it off his delivery schedule due to an insulting letter, a way must be found to change his mind. That was weird. Hold on. Let me...
he struck it off the list of the towns that he was going to go to.
Yes, but the wording is just a little weird. Because I feel like it should have been like when a town learns that Santa Claus has struck them off or something like that. Or that... Whatever. Anyway, that is basically what the story is. And it has really nothing to do with the poem.
Truly, it is bookended by said poem, but that is where the similarities kind of like start and end.
They took basically like the first two lines, 'twas the night before Christmas and off of the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. And they're like, this is the basis. So we have humans and mice. Where... Okay, watching the movie, we see that the humans and mice interact with each other. The mice are dressed up as human and wearing clothes as well. They have jobs and everything.
Little anthropomorphic moment.
So does that mean that there's a mouse version of Santa Claus?
Clearly not. Because we barely got them to believe in like the human Santa Claus to then assume there's like, yeah, rodent Santa is a pretty big jump.
Well, I would.
Albert is like, all right, I gave you one. I'm not going to give you two.
You want Easter Bunny? Fine. That's the only animal.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, well, they prove that mice can hold jobs and, you know, wear fancy little clothes and everything, but like, where's the Santa Mouse? I'm done. I'm out. Thank you.
Drop the mic.
Oh my goodness. So, because this is only 24 minutes, and I know we struggle sometimes with Rankin and Bass, I did a little research. I actually did research, everyone, into the poem, which is fascinating if you want to read the Wikipedia page. So the poem is originally called A Visit from St. Nicholas. It was first published in 1823 anonymously, and then in 1837 Clement Clark Moore claimed ownership, and like a bunch of people were like, yeah, he wrote it, cool. However, another person claims to have written it. Henry Livingston Jr. His family claims that this person wrote it, and the Wikipedia page is like, no. That's what I read, how I read it. But it's fascinating, this history. And then to watch this, and I'm like, oh, you basically do it at the end, and that's it. The poem.
Yeah, like it's a really good setup, and then it just kind of like goes nowhere.
No. Except that humans and mice work together. The end.
Yes,
Because all of a
and
sudden they're like,
Copernicus invented clockwork.
yeah, there's clocks and they're gonna lure Santa. Anyway, so let's backtrack a little bit. So, did you watch this as a kid?
Oh my God, yes. In fact, while I was like multiple times, while I was watching this for the first time, and I'm not even gonna say multiple decades, I knew the lyrics. Like my mouth opened and the lyrics came out. I was like, oh, I remember all three songs so accurately. I mean, it is ingrained in my brain.
Yeah, I looked at this and I was like, I feel like I've seen this before, but I think it was in like, you know, when channels in December change over to just strictly show holiday movies.
Yeah.
I feel like there was a day on like ABC Family during like a Rankin and Bass Power Hour. I feel like I watched this because if it merits, I mean, it has commercial breaks in it,
Yeah.
like it fades to black and it comes back. So it makes sense that it was a TV movie and everything or TV short. But I don't honestly remember if I have actually seen this or not, like sat down and watched the whole thing. Because this is one of their animated movies.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. What were you about to say?
No, I kind of interrupted you. I just got excited. No, it's interesting. Like I not only did I remember the lyrics, but like the yellow green eyes, like my headcanon, like
Yes.
the thing that I remember, I will prove it to you right now. It's like when Albert's car is like, I want to see how it worked. So I climbed up into it and kerplunk. Kerplooey, you broke the clock. Like that whole sequence, that like whole interchange, like it's like how I can remember, like recite the entirety of the Land Before Time to this day. Don't make me a long, long time ago, long before you.
I won't, but here
Anyway,
are some
no,
tissues for you
yeah, exactly. No, it's just there. I remember so much about this movie. It's uncanny.
what's fascinating about this movie is that in the 25 minutes or 24 minutes of the runtime, there are so many lessons, but it doesn't matter that it's Christmas or Christmas Eve, because you
Yeah.
could set this at any time and it'll make sense. It doesn't even need to be a holiday. It could be whatever. You know, we were
Yeah.
talking about the Tooth Fairy or something, because there's like hold on to your innocence in a way as a theme.
Yeah.
You know, when what's the antagonist, quote unquote, Albert, yeah,
Yeah.
Albert, when he admits to breaking the clock, the dad's like, you broke it, you gotta fix it. And I was like,
Yeah.
that's actually like a good moral to have no matter what time of year, you know. And
It's not
it
enough to be sorry. You got to fix the thing you did.
yeah. But also while watching it, I was just like, dad, clearly your kid, and you say it, your kid doesn't know shit about clocks. So if he's willing to go fix it, you should be like, well, let me come help you and I'll bring my tools and we'll do it together. You know, like I was a little miffed at that.
The boy has to learn his lesson his own way.
And then Father Mouse talks to Father Human, whose name I forget already. And I just watched this and I already am blanking on names. And he's like, so my boy broke your clock. Sorry?
Yeah.
And instead of going to help,
Joshua
yeah,
Trendle.
Trendle, that's it. And instead of being like, so I'm gonna go help him, Father Mouse is like, he's gonna go fix it. We'll see what happens. It's 3 seconds to midnight.
Yeah. Whatever happens, happens.
Oh my goodness. So this actually has a little more songs than I realized. Like there's a whole reprise of one. They do
Yes.
Silent Night at one point, which is super depressing. Like they somehow made Silent Night even more depressing. And I don't
Well,
know
this is
how.
when they don't know if Santa's going to come back. So, like, it could be a very silent night.
Oh, I see what you did there. And I see
Yeah.
what Rankin and Bastard they're picking that song. But yeah, so before we started recording, you were singing Even a Miracle Needs a Hand. Like, is that in the back with yellow green eyes?
There's more to the world than meets the eye. When doubts in your mind, give your heart a try. Let up a little on the wonder why and give your heart a try. Yes.
Come see Battles at her holiday show, by the way, where she's gonna sing
Yes.
all Rankin and Bass music.
My one woman depiction of like both mouse and human version of this cartoon.
Oh man, like the music
And
was also. Oh yeah, go
I
ahead.
was gonna say, just to speak to the animation style, I love this. I think everyone is so cute. This is that kind of like you start to see like what maybe would become like Studio Ghibli back in further down the line. Everyone with their just like their big eyes and their buck teeth, and I love that everyone's a redhead. Like
They
very ginger forward here.
kept the same style that they did with like the claymation.
Yeah.
Like the mom clearly looks like Miss Jessica from Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
1,000%.
And keeping with the
Yeah.
redhead. Also, there's one. So in Even a Miracle Needs a Hand, there's a moment where they're all fantasizing about what Santa will bring them. And it's like, the boy has the kids are like toys and things like that. And then the mom has on a gown. I was like, are you imagining Santa giving you a gown? Is that what the song is telling me?
Well, I think they're canonically poor, so I think she just wants like, to have like more creature comforts,
Oh,
shall we say.
I didn't realize that they were so poor. They seemed like middle class to me. That's why I was like, a gown?
Well, does they get like it wasn't an eviction notice, but they get like a bill in the mail and they're like,
Oh,
oh, and then like the
yes.
kids are like around the mailman is like, I got nothing for you.
Yeah, once Santa. So like it begins with them getting their letters back from Santa saying like return to sender or something. And they're all
Yeah.
like, why? What happened? And then Albert, who I feel like is supposed to be like double digits, like maybe 10 or 11, in human
I
years.
read somewhere he is like a college student, like he's college aged.
So the whole to backtrack even more, this whole town, wherever this is set, everyone be
Junctionville.
Junction
Junctionville, New York, in fact. So,
isn't that like where Frosty was too? I feel
I
like
don't remember. That would be wild, though.
that instead of the MCU, it's the
I
R&B
was
universe.
gonna say RBU.
RBU. Everyone believes in Santa Claus, and it's not a question. Like, and so once Albert, who you said is college age, which is shocking to me, admit like has a free thought about Santa not being real, everyone shuns him, and he did such a very public thing, I will say, like putting it in the paper. How dare you?
Yeah.
I feel like we've talked about this before, but have you heard about Yes, Virginia?
Yes, there really is a Santa Claus. Miracle
Yeah.
on 34th Street. Yeah.
Yes. So this movie seems like the antithesis of that.
Yeah, I thought that too, actually. I'm like, all right, well, this is the letter you don't want to write.
But also like the fact that she like in Yes, Virginia, she's questioning the validity of Santa Claus, and the writer gives a like a soft yes to like there is a Santa Claus, but like doesn't say that Santa is a person. It's more like a like a feeling and everything.
An idea.
Whereas this one is like, no, no, Santa is real, everyone. Santa is real. And he will punish your town for somebody, for one person. Well, sorry, one mouse.
I love, like, also I feel like kind of a thing that's canonic with a lot of these Rankin and Bass movies. Like, Santa's kind of a dick. Like, Santa has, like, petty energy. There's so many of these.
Well, so we... I didn't like his depiction, like the way that they drew him.
Oh, the no mustache thing? I fucking hate it.
And the weird cheeks? It felt like a weird, like, Cartoon Network kind of character. But, like, obviously this is
way before that. Wish.com Santa.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, where's Chris from, Chris Kringle from your other movies? Come on, pick that person.
Yeah, I did not care for that character design either.
And Joel Grey is the voice of Trundle, which I didn't really, I feel like he changed his voice because I didn't really hear the Joel Grey that, you know, we all know and love.
Well, also, this is how many years ago? True. Not for nothing.
This 74? Is Cabaret.
That was a like hot before, second.
Yeah. Oh, true. True, true, true. Oh, my God. Well, what is... This is super fast, everyone. So songs, right? Let's get back to that. There's a song called Give Your Heart a Try, which is basically saying that every mythological holiday creature is real. Like they talk about leprechauns and Easter Bunny. And I think that's really it.
What? Cupid. A Valentine
Cupid,
would certainly
right.
look stupid without a Cupid. So let his arrow in your heart.
A very naked Cupid.
Oh, I noticed that too. I was like, oh, he spread his legs. Like, thank God, like, there's nothing there.
I was like, where's the diaper?
It wasn't like tree boobs, but like he had no protection. That kid is free balling.
Part of me wants to pull that as a quote, but I don't know if I should. But yeah, that one.
I don't know. I don't think it has to be taken so literally. I mean, like, yes, I know in the context of this movie, like, Santa is real and they're trying to coax him back. But, like, I also can appreciate how this is kind of like metaphorically say, like, you know, keep the spirit of the holidays, you know, like, celebrate the vernal equinox, you know, with its flowers and its wildlife, and like, you know, keep the spirit of the holidays in doing so, like it'll warm your heart. I think that could also be an interpretation.
And also to go back to the poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas, the poem is the one that like made Christmas Eve more about like the family and
yeah,
like the anticipation of Christmas Day.
Yeah.
So, and it's the depiction of St. Nicholas, excuse me, I don't want to say Santa Claus because that wasn't really the title at the time. The depiction of Santa Claus is still used today. So like the description that they give, and then years later, thank you to Coca-Cola, they're the ones that created the image that we have.
I was going to say, wasn't that a product directly of like Coca-Cola advertising, which is wild.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a weird fact that I found out. So the little preamble to the song itself, the little run-in is, you know, Father Mouse says, we're talking about everything that makes the holiday gay. And in some broadcast, they cut this entire song because of the mention of the word in a very traditional context.
Yes.
Which again is crazy to me.
Like, God damn it. It's like watching videos on TikTok and they can't. Fun fact about me. I like to watch Reddit, like the Reddit stories on TikTok, you know, when they have an automated voice say it and everything. And
yes.
In those stories, they censor COVID. They don't say the word COVID.
Oh,
They
yeah.
say the virus. And I'm like, it's a word. So like with
What
this
is
one, gay means happy. And that's what they're
Yeah,
talking about.
exactly.
You don't
Dude,
see,
I
you
actually
know, like the village people show up in this and they're like, woo, gay. You're like
Well, I mean, to be fair, it does say gay and rainbow within the context of the same song. So that was probably just, although in reference to leprechauns, that was probably just like a bridge too far.
a rainbow bridge too far?
A rainbow bridge too far. When a mouse dies, it
No.
crosses the rainbow bridge.
So, what did you think of the final song, Christmas Chimes Are Calling?
Again, so nostalgic. Not my favorite. I think of the three songs, that is my least favorite. Santa, Santa. And the thing that like I didn't understand is I understand that it was confusing because what the movie kind of sets up is like when the clock strikes midnight, there's like there's a song to be played, but then like everything mechanically, you see the chimes, and then outside you see a choir. So it's like I was trying to figure out where this song was like actually being broadcast from. And like it's so awkward too, because like there's for that song in terms of the clock, there's just like these big static close-ups on the clock face, as if that's like it's trying to tell you something, but it's not really clear what.
Yeah, because when Trundle, yes, when he
Joshua
bring
Trundle.
when he brings the scaled down model version of it and it like breaks and everything. Or no, it doesn't break. He's like, this is obviously not big enough for Santa to hear when he's flying in the sky. So this is what's going to happen. And you're assuming this has got to be like late 1800s if we're going by like costuming and you know how the world is at this time.
Turn of the century, yeah,
Turn of the century,
probably.
yeah. There's got to be some sort of like speaker system in the model. And
Yeah.
so when you blow it up, you're like, do you have the technology to put a subwoofer basically in this clock?
Santa drives by, it's like, ooska, ooska,
listen to that sick beat about me.
Yeah, man. Turn around, Dasher. Dancer's gonna love this.
Blitzen, stop drinking.
Yeah. No,
Sorry, I
Rudolph,
had
because
to.
he's always got the red nose.
Well, there was no Rudolph in this because Rudolph wasn't
That's
a
true.
thing in the for the poem.
It's true. And also, Santa had the red nose in this one. His ruddy ass cheeks.
Well,
Good Lord.
maybe Santa was hitting the bottle.
Santa was on the sauce, man. Either that or he got some serious windburn.
What's also weird at the end of the movie is like when he does deliver to the Trundles the presents, they're all watching him. It's a little like Santa is not an exhibitionist. He's a he works at night. That's the whole point. Like
Yeah.
part of the mythos that is Santa is that he comes in while you're sleeping to give you the presents. So watching him is like I don't is like I guess like the groundhog where you know you're it's not gonna happen because you saw your shadow or something like that.
Here at this point, he's just like, this town was a wash anyway. Like, fuck the rules.
Santa happy now, you sang a song
Yeah.
to me, one of millions of songs to him.
Right. You needed another? Okay, fine. Again, to just to feed this giant ego.
So I was. This is what I wrote down in my notes. Everyone's so mad at the clockmaker for failing to entice Santa to stop by their town. This movie's fucked up. Because like when the clock breaks, when Albert accidentally breaks the clock somehow, and what's I love when animation all of a sudden breaks their own rules and the clock starts like gyrating to show that it's
Yes.
breaking. And then everyone's mad at Trundle and you're like, He didn't do it on
He
purpose.
didn't do it. And then, moreover, the mayor won't even let him inside the clock to try to fix it. He's just like, you've made a mess of this enough. Like, we're all doomed because of you. And he's like, I want to try
I
to
want to
rectify
fix
the
it.
situation. And mayor's like, no.
I want Santa to come by too.
Yeah. My wife needs a new dress. She's gonna leave me.
And my kids need the toys that I cannot buy being a clockmaker. Which
They're sick of watches every year.
I guess he's got a lot of business, because when the town turned their backs on him as well, like everyone took their clocks away or watches, and you're like, I'm like, that's a lot of people. I guess at the turn of the century, clockmaking was like a lucrative job, you know, because
Everybody's got clocks.
not in this day and age where everyone has a cell phone or a digital clock, because yeah.
Truth.
What else is there, anything else you want to talk about? Do you
I
have any
also
ideas?
really love the song, you, oh, what is it? You hope and I'll hurry. You pray and I'll plan.
Which one
We'll
is?
do what's necessary, 'cause even a miracle needs a hand.
Oh, that
It's like so.
the reprise of it,
No,
right?
the whole damn thing. Like,
Oh, 'cause the reprise
I
is
love
Albert
this
singing.
song. Yeah, the reprise is Albert, which I did not know until this moment was voiced by a woman. So I love that, because
Yes.
he sounds kind of like a little bit nasal and a little bit in the back of the throat. That one a little bit Jennifer Tilly. But he's such a, I love his voice. It's so iconic to me, and yeah, I love that it was voiced by a woman, kind of like a Bart Simpson kind of situation.
She also voiced another character in a Rankin and Bass movie, that may. Okay, I'm glad you're sitting down for this one. She was the voice of Molly Grew in The Last Unicorn.
Why? Why?
Oh,
Now she's 23.
you're cutting out. Sorry, you cut out there for a second. What did you
Oh,
say?
sorry. No, it's like, why do you come to me now when I'm old? She's like fully 32.
Yeah, it's the same woman.
I love this.
Tammy Grimes is her name. She's a two-time Tony Award winner as well. Good for her.
Love me some Tammy.
Let's see what she won for, if I could find it.
Yeah, I'm curious.
So in 1961, she won Best Featured Actress in a Musical for The Unsinkable Molly Brown. And
Oh, yes.
in 1970, she won lead actress in a play for Private Lives. Good for her.
Oh, I read that in college, actually. Anyway, yeah, that's awesome. We love a Broadway babe.
We do. Yeah. Oh God, this movie was a little too short though for my liking. I feel like they could have I get it that Rankin and Bass were like, it's holiday time, it's for kids, we got to make it short and sweet and have a few lessons in it. And like, they ticked all those boxes, but for me, a 36-year-old man watching this for a podcast, I wish it was longer.
Yes. I mean, did you enjoy it?
Oh
I mean,
yeah.
clearly, if you wanted
Totally.
more, that's a dumb question.
Totally. It follows the path of a lot of the Rankin and Bass holiday movies that we've done, which is that it's just too fast.
Yeah.
Like boom, 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 boom. We gotta go. We gotta go. Attention spans and everything. And I'm like, let's slow down a second, you know, let's less unicorn this a little bit. Let's.
Oh, let's see. Danny would have mentioned himself. I didn't need to force it.
I did. I forced it this time.
Other thing that I was gonna say is, One of my favorite euphemisms, because YouTube is the same thing in terms of like, this is a bit of a back check, but YouTube is the same thing in terms of like referencing COVID. You just don't get it, or you don't do it because you potentially could get demonetized. So the Game Grumps referred that to that as the Backstreet Boy tour, the
The
COVID,
Backstreet Boy tour.
Or like something like that. It was like the boy band tour, and I was just like, "Oh, that's fucking clever and funny." That's like Backstreet Boy reunion tour or something like that.
I yes, this was cute. I wish we saw. Well, the yeah, I didn't really have a lot.
Well, how would you? I was gonna say, how would you make it longer then? Like, what parts of it would you naturally expand?
Maybe while Albert is fixing the clock, he has another song, or there's like a mon like a like a like a quintet ver quintet version of like from West Side Story in a way where it's like everyone gets their own little verse, and maybe there's a reprise of Even a Miracle Needs a Hand or Give Your Heart a Try or something. I guess that's also the 21st century filmmaking mindset I'm throwing onto this. I don't know, maybe like it just I don't know. Honestly I don't know what to add. Also, maybe give the mom a few lines here and there because she was very silent. Hello, Rankin and
We
Bass, I
don't
see
allow women
you.
to speak in this day and age.
Unless they're children, unless it's a
Right.
girl, little girl, then that's the only way women can talk if they're girls.
Yeah, you hit puberty and you just, it's like Ariel, you lose the voice. You don't get to talk anymore.
Unless you're Miss Jessica, that's it.
Yeah.
Or
Then you get a fever dream still.
you get a fever. Or some weird female presenting mythical creature from that other one we did with the great auk, the deer antler
Oh,
one.
right.
Yes, there was like a fairy that was female
Yes.
presenting that had like two lines.
Right. Well, two lines too many in my book. What is she doing out of the kitchen?
Oh, whoa.
I mean, topical, am I right? Let's not even get these started.
Oh, I'm sorry I did.
I actually have an idea. Again, I don't know if they were striving to make like the Santa can character like really enigmatic or whatever. But one thing they could possibly do is like having the interchange between like Santa reading the letter, getting miffed about it, and then like a North Pole mouse overhearing that, and then that gets relayed to the operator mouse, who knows about like why Junction City is like persona non grata. So that like the little mouse network might be cute, like how news travels.
I like that there's a lot more emphasis on this mouse family than there is on the human family.
Oh yeah.
It's very interesting to be like, okay, so we're taking this one person who may or may not exist, depending on how old you are, and if you're listening to this podcast right now, I'm not going to admit something that I've already admitted before. We're going to take this one person and have not the humans worry about him. We're going to have mice worry about Santa. Anthropomorphic mice. Like, and what's also fascinating is that in this world, humans and mice are just like buds, you know? Like
Yeah.
Father Mouse and Joshua Trundle are co-workers. There's no one shrieking to be like, "Oh no, it's a mouse," you know.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you do that
Oh.
with a mouse with a mouse that's wearing a bow tie? Like, let's be real here.
This is such a niche bit, and you can absolutely cut it out if you want. But anyone who knows me, besides loving Ninja Sex Party, also knows that I know love Dimension 20. And on this season, Lou Wilson does a whole bit because he can talk to rats. And the whole thing about the rats is they're like, livelihood, I need to make money. So like there is like a weird precedent for like mice or like rodents needing jobs.
Well, much like the movie, is there anything else though you want to talk about before that we get to Sharp and Flight? Because it's going to be a super fast episode one way or another.
Oh gosh. Let me look at the rundown here.
I mean, I had to look up because there was a moment where Father Mouse sounded like Frank Sinatra, and it wasn't him.
Oh yeah, I could see that.
It was
Oh, yeah,
George.
one thing. Oh, go ahead.
The person who played voice Father Mouse was was George Gobel. I believe that's how you pronounce his last name. He's done a lot, but I don't know if he was told to like do a Frank Sinatra-esque voice or something, or if that's his real voice. I don't know this person at all. So that's one thing I wanted to say. Oh, and there apparently I'm looking at the IMDb and there's a credit for the Wee Winter Singers, and
I
it's
saw that.
WEE. So I don't know who this group is. What they did another Rankin and Bass movie the same year, The Year Without a Santa Claus, so which I think we've
They have
done.
a precedent. Oh,
Yeah.
yes, we absolutely have.
We do. Yeah. They. Rankin and Bass has their pool of actors like Ryan Murphy.
Truly.
What were you about to say? I'm sorry I cut you off right there.
Oh no, that's okay. One other thing that they said is like you mentioned, we were talking about Junctionville. So it is a fictional town, but it was meant to honor the author Clement Moore, who was born in New York. It's apparently a seaside town. As one little boy, Davy Thomas is shown sitting on a seaside cliff, dropping a drawing of Santa into the ocean. Its maritime nature may have been based off of Newport, Rhode Island, where Clement Moore died. So a little bit of trivia about Junctionville, New York.
Well, and on that note, let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall we?
Let's do it.
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. And I only have one flat. And I wrote this down because I'm hoping you're going to laugh your ass off as much as I did writing it, is that my flat is for Ratatouille clearly stealing from this movie.
Oh my God.
I was
Shots
watching this.
fired.
Shots fired at Ratatouille. I was watching this. I was like, really, there's nothing flat worthy about this. But then I had that thought of like, wait, the mice are working with the humans, like in Ratatouille. Clearly, they stole
Truth.
it. They stole it. I'm gonna just say it. I know nobody listens to this podcast, so I don't have to worry about Disney. But did you have any flats?
Expectation wise, the opening credits state that the story is told and sung by Joel Grey. And though George Gobel is wonderful, I would have loved a moment where Joel actually got to sing.
Well, yeah, because he's the one who narrated the poem at the bookends.
Yes.
Yeah, they missed out. They missed out on Joel
Truly.
Grey. Okay, let's get to sharps. So I wrote, I gave this a sharp for the
Oh,
how
wait,
the.
I'm an idiot. And I read that wrong. Wait, back up. That's not. He does sing. He's Joshua. It's the Father Mouse that narrates it. So he doesn't narrate it. He does sing. So can I back up?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Little pedantic inaccuracy. The opening credits state that the story is told and sung by Joel Grey, and it's actually George Gobel, so the mouse's character that narrates the whole thing. So I'm here on Mr. Joel's behalf, to get, or Mr. Grey's behalf to, get his rightful comeuppance.
Yeah.
But again, that is silly and pedantic.
All right, let's get into sharps then. I first sharped how jam-packed this movie is with lessons, but it has nothing to do with Christmas. Because, like, this is a, like we said, you break it, you fix it. That's a good lesson to have for almost any occasion. and not just saying like an object, you know, like you hurt somebody, fix it, kind of a thing. Also, my last sharp is for that this wasn't just the poem. Like, that was a thing when you picked this. I was like, is it just gonna be the poem? How are they gonna do that? But no, this is, they're like, we're gonna start it and then we're gonna take a hard right and we're gonna keep going and then we're gonna make a hard left and we're back onto the poem.
Yes.
What about you? What were your sharps?
I actually just found an additional one. And now as soon as I hang up on this call, I'm going to look it up. Even a Miracle Needs a Hand appeared on South Park in the season 4 episode, A Very Crappy Christmas. Similar to its use in the original special, the song is sung by Kyle to Stan and Kenny during a seemingly hopeless situation. At one point, Joshua Trundle's face is even superimposed over Kyle's face.
What?
So that's a sharp unseen. That is a sharp unseen.
Oh my goodness. Maybe that'll be a post.
Oh my God, please.
If I could find it, I'll post it. Would you add in the songs to your life's playlist?
Oh, they're already there. Like I said, even A Miracle Needs a Hand, I could sing from start to finish the second it came on. And also, what's the other one?
Give Your Heart a Try?
Oh, sorry, no. Give Your Heart a Try. Even A Miracle Needs a Hand is the second one. Yeah, Give Your Heart a Try is the one that I always sing in my head. And then, yeah, they're both great. Christmas Chimes Are Calling, it's fine. But the other two are just, they slap.
See, and I wrote Christmas Chimes Are Calling because I was like, this feels like they could put this on like the Christmas radio channels or whatever, and it'll fit right in, you know. The other ones were
true.
Yeah, I did like the other ones, but I was like, what do I actually want to listen to outside of this? And that is it. I also just came up, by the way, with an idea for Cabaret for you, and I'm going to leave this in the episode. You should do a whole cabaret called Rankin and Bass and Me, where you sing nothing but Rankin and Bass songs.
I am not against this at all.
Yeah, so you can do Yellow Green Eyes. You can do even A Miracle Needs a Hand, because that's the one that you know off the top of your head.
Yep.
We can get you to do The Last Unicorn.
The Last Unicorn again, yep.
Yep.
Obviously.
So, which leads into us being done with the episode. So put this on the back burner for something that you could potentially promote in future episodes. That's all I'm going to say.
Done. No producer?
Oh, maybe I do. I don't know. What do you have, though, to actually plug or promote?
Yeah, actually. So R-Bar, my sketch comedy group that I've been plugging, our anniversary is coming up. So we're going to do something super special in September, which will be, I will be posting at MBATS with a Z on Instagram, and then our bar, all of our social media platforms will also be posting about it. So stay tuned for that. So if you like comedy and booze, you know, two things near and dear to my heart, come on and check us out.
How long has it been going? You said this is the anniversary show. So how long?
Yes. I think 10. But don't quote me.
Ooh, it's a big one. A big big anniversary.
Hold on. I'm going to look it up before I make an absolute ass of myself. But I think it says like, oh, giving you beer soaked fun since. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, 2009. So not quite, but close.
So that is, but it's 15 years.
15, yeah.
That's, and I'm counting the time when the virus was around. That's a callback joke, everyone.
Glory be on the cheap colored lights. So,
so it's still a pretty big one. Are you guys like doing all, like going all out explosive?
Yes.
Plans?
Yeah. 1,000%. It's going to be a spectacle.
Ooh, maybe it, Maybe I'll show up there. Who knows?
I mean, you should.
I should support the besties of the pod. And
Yeah.
if you have an idea on how to lengthen this movie, like add time and everything, I'd love to hear about it. You can email me at buttersunkpod@gmail.com. Also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Threads. I keep forgetting to say I'm on Threads now. At buttersunkpod. Yeah, was this one of your childhood staple movies as well? And if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, well, we're still going to celebrate Christmas in July because it's actually going to be on like July 25th. And we're going to be talking about Amal and the Night Visitors. Yeah, a little one-act opera, everyone. To go a hand-in-hand with this little one-act movie. I mean, let's be real. It's just one act. Like, there is... You can, it's not like the like a three-act movie at
like a little
all.
Bite-sized serving. It's an amuse-bouche of a Christmas tale.
It's an amuse-bouche.
There it is. But
I'm out. We're done. Thank
that's
you.
That's a cheesy joke, sir.
Oh, that's a Gouda one. We're okay.
We'll see ourselves out.
Yes. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Battles, thank you so much for coming back on. And
always a
this
pleasure.
One wasn't as torturous as other ones has been, so that's
true.
Great.
I enjoyed this one.
Yes. Everyone, thank you for listening, and bye for now.
Special thanks to Aaron Troy for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.